decided, look, we are going to make a deal. We're going to pair up Paul George with Russell Westbrook, and we're going to try to build another super team in Oklahoma City. Here's the problem with that. The first one didn't work with Kevin Durant. They play the same position. Kevin Durant, the reigning finals MVP, the MVP of the league 2-3 years ago, I believe, was paired up with Russell Westbrook for 5 years. They had James Harden on that team too, and they had Serge Ibaka, and that didn't work. So how is Paul George, who didn't even make first, second, or third team NBA, going to come in and all of a sudden the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be competitive? Maybe, but I don't really think so. I think their best bet is going to the second round and losing in a six-game series to Houston. Is that really worth? I mean, I don't know. On the other side of the deal, Indiana got Victor Oladipo. They got Sabonis, a young player. And if you look at it from them or their point of view, it was a good deal. It wasn't a great deal. I think they left more on the table, and it's been reported that they had better offers from Boston. They might have had a better offer in a three-team trade with Cleveland and the Nuggets. And to me, an outsider, obviously, I'm not in the situation at all. I'm just an 18-year-old hosting my own radio show. It looks like Kevin Pritchard did not want to give Paul George what he wanted. He did not want to send him to a team that was competitive in the East. He wanted to send him off to a small market team where he didn't want to be in a small market and a not so competitive team. And that's what he did, because Boston could have offered Jay Crowder or Avery Bradley. They could have offered a variety of their first round picks or their young assets, all of whom would fit the rebuild in Indiana a lot better than Victor overpaid Oladipo. Indiana also made the mistake of not cashing out on their biggest asset. Look, you're Indiana. You're not getting free agents anytime soon. You normally have low lottery picks or that 18 to 22 range. You're not a title contender, but now you're not full on rebuilding. What are you? Are you trying to sell tickets? Victor Oladipo is not going to sell you tickets. I know he's from Indiana, but the fans don't really care. When it comes down to it, the fans want to see winning, or they want to see you try to win in 4 years. They don't want to see you put a marginal 38 and 44 product out there. Next, we're going to talk about Gordon Hayward going to the Celtics. This news broke yesterday. First, it was reported that he was going there. Then it was reported that maybe he's still deciding. And then he posted a very, very elegantly written article on the Players Tribune titled, "Thank You, Utah." Formerly a member of the Utah Jazz, Gordon Hayward, a small forward, signed with the Boston Celtics for the 4-year max. And that is 2 years in a row that the Celtics have landed a good free agent. Maybe not a great free agent, but it definitely is accelerating them in the East. Gordon Hayward, though, is not enough to overcome the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's just look at it objectively. LeBron James has made every single final since 2010. There's something going on there if he can make every single final since 2010. The Celtics were the first seed in the East. Not the greatest first seed in the world, but they were the first seed in the East. They got annihilated by Cleveland. Is Gordon Hayward really going to come in and change that? No. What's going to happen is instead of losing 4-1, they're going to lose 4-2. They're not going to go to the NBA Finals with Gordon Hayward. What Danny Ainge really should have done is put all of his assets, shipped him off, and said, "Kristaps Porzingis, come play for the Celtics. Phil Jackson, you can have all of this," before he got fired. But he didn't. Or, "Kevin Pritchard, I'm going to send you an offer that's going to blow you away because we want Paul George. We think we can get Gordon Hayward. We're not going to wait till we get him. We don't need to wait. We think we're going to get him, and we have a better chance with Paul George. So I'm going to send off a couple of my young assets. I'm going to get Paul George. I'm going to pair up with Gordon Hayward. And we're going to make a run at this title next year." Because Cleveland There was an opening this year. There was an opening to overtake them. They did nothing in the offseason. Their owner fired their general manager or parted ways with him. There was some cracks. You know, LeBron wasn't happy. He sent out a couple tweets. And Danny Ainge really didn't take advantage of that. And yes, he got Gordon Hayward, and give him credit for that. And I give Brad Stevens credit for that too, his former coach at Butler. But he had an opportunity. He wasted the opportunity. And I don't think, unfortunately for Celtics fans, they're going to sniff an NBA Finals, at least for the next couple of years, unless there's a big move down the line. Also, I know we addressed this in our last show because it happened about a week ago, but Chris Paul to the Rockets. I just want to say briefly, because I've been asked this by some of the viewers that watched our first show, had some real criticism of what I said about Chris Paul going to the Rockets. And everyone thinks that Chris Paul is this superstar, this next level type guy. I just want to ask real briefly before we go to break, is Chris Paul overrated? He's a 32-year-old point guard that has never made it out of the second round. Never made it out of the second round of the playoffs. You call this guy a superstar. You wanted to give him $201 million Steph Curry money. Never made it out of the second round. Teammates couldn't get along with him. Blake Griffin didn't like him. DeAndre Jordan did not like him. Couldn't get along with his coach. Forced his way out of New Orleans. Is he a superstar? Or does he just make really funny State Farm commercials? I'm going to go with the latter. And we are going to head to break. You are listening to In the Zone on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. So what you wanna do?
Bake a cake made out of rainbows and smiles, and we'd all eat and be happy.
She doesn't even go here.
You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you.
right, welcome back. And I have a special guest for everyone today. Giancarlo Rulli, former sports reporter for WJPZ radio station in Syracuse, New York. Giancarlo, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Taylor. How about
yourself? Doing real great right now. Giancarlo, I brought you on today because I wanted to talk a little... Warriors action with you.
Sure.
I got to start with the question. Are the Warriors the greatest dynasty in the last half century, basketball-wise?
Well, I mean, it's a question that's getting thrown around. And really, I think from sample size, you have to say projected-wise, they're on that track. Are they at that point where they're able to eclipse, say, the 70s, 80s, Celtics, same thing with the Magic's Lakers? It's really a little too early to tell. But, yes, in 3 to 4 more years, a couple more titles under their belt, they're on their way. It's whether they can keep this team together. And as you've seen so far, management is opening up the paychecks to make sure that this core group stays together for the future.
Okay, so in football, the Patriots always get called geniuses and, Bill Belichick and all this stuff because they manage the salary cap so well in a way that the 49ers and the Cowboys didn't have to in the past because there was no salary cap. Now, obviously, the salary cap's been around a little longer in the NBA, but it wasn't as much of a factor in, let's say, the 80s when you had Worthy and Magic on, and, Kareem on a team, and then you had Bird and, Parrish and all those guys, obviously. So is it more impressive that the Warriors are doing this in a salary-capped era?
I think so in this day and age, and you have to take a look at it from this perspective, too. The cap itself dropped from about $102 million to $99 million because the Cavaliers and Warriors raced through the playoffs, therefore eliminating a lot of the extra cash, and you had a five-game NBA Finals, where the NBA left about $200 to $250 million plus on the table. To be able to take a player like Durant, A, bring him in, but then have him sign basically a one-and-one contract where he's leaving $9.5 million on the table, and you have the opportunity then for the same thing to happen next year where you can bring him in below market annual value, and he's set up for a supermax deal of probably about 4 years, $160 million in 2019-2020. The Warriors, at this point, are able to keep that core together. They have Thompson under contract for 2 more years. You know the deal with Curry with the 5 years, $200 million contract, and Draymond the same with 2 more years to go. So at least for the existing future, the Warriors are well set up, and it's allowed them to go out and re-sign guys like Iguodala, re-sign core guys like Livingston, and recently just go out and get guys like Nick Young and Omri Casby. You can see the two guys both can shoot 35 and 40% from the field respectively from three. So it's going to be the same old run-and-gun Warriors again coming up next year. But, yeah, and you brought up Tom Brady. I mean, how many years has Tom Brady taken pay cuts so he can bring in guys like Julian Edelman, roster guys that can fill out that help you win championships? Brady's done that for years. The same thing that really doesn't get mentioned, Tim Duncan did this for years under Popovich in San Antonio, where he left millions of dollars on the table to get guys like Boris Diaw, guys that could fill out the roster around him and Ginobili and Parker to win championships. So if you can address that winning formula and you have a management team and the players actively are buying into it, then yes, as a team, you are above and beyond. I mean, when they said that Joe Lacob came out and said the Warriors are light years ahead of everybody in the NBA, he wasn't lying. You had a lot of the owners laughed at him, scoffed at him, but now they're coming around, and it's showing. I mean, the rest of the NBA is scrambling to try to keep up with how the Warriors are revolutionizing not only the game of basketball, but how it's done financially as well.
So could I make the argument that if Kevin Durant maybe is not the best player in the league, and that title's still held by LeBron James, he's certainly the most valuable? Because he came to a team, fit into their system, took a pay cut a year after for them, won the finals MVP, and was never a huge distraction for the Warriors, never caused any locker room issues, pretty much came in there and just blended right in with the culture And now look at him. I mean, he is setting them up for success for multiple years down the road.
I think the argument, Taylor, that he's a top two player is totally founded. I mean, he is basically him and LeBron at the top, and it probably will be that way for the next 2 to 3 years, with depending on how fast LeBron will decline. I mean, eventually it will happen. Lots of different articles out there about where he might be, what his statistics. They're looking at him basically, he will hold firm to about 36. So the problem, though, projected for Cleveland, I mean, if you set it up where Gordon Hayward just signed with the Celtics have a pretty darn good team. You guys got Isaiah Thomas, Hortford, Crowder, Bradley, Olynyk, Smart. They just got, you know, Jason Tatum, small forward out of Duke, 6'8", averages 17-7. They, of course, got the number one seed last year and were unfortunately not going to be able to get past Cleveland. This time around, you may have a different story, and Cleveland's really held to the cap. LeBron's earning $33.5 million, and he hasn't taken a pay cut, and they're top-heavy. You got three players on that team that are earning roughly $80 to $85 million in payroll, and so it really leaves you little wiggle room unless you're willing to go over the cap to make those changes. The Warriors are going to pay probably $32 million in tax salary. They have three more roster spots to fill. That's kind of the projected salary of what they're going to be going over with the luxury tax. But it's just going to depend, and you see across the league just trying to scramble, whether it be Chris Paul going to try to go play with Harden in Houston, whether, you know, potentially Carmelo Anthony going to Cleveland, Paul George hooking up with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. It remains to be seen whether they'll be able to compete. There's really, at this point, with the changes that have happened so far, lead me not to believe that there's any one team that can challenge the Warriors before they reach the finals. Unless San Antonio makes this big splash move where they bring in somebody with supreme talent, you're probably looking at a six-game series with them in the Western Conference Finals. And again, unless Boston can take down Cleveland, a rematch again for a fourth year in a row.
Now, at this point in the offseason, when a lot of the big-name free agents are already off the board, same with trade targets, I'm sorry, do you think there's anything Cleveland can do outside of adding Carmelo Anthony, and would you even think that would be enough to overtake the Warriors in maybe a six- or a seven-game series in the finals?
No, I don't think. I think the way that the Cleveland's currently structured, Carmelo Anthony coming to the team does absolutely nothing for them. Their biggest problem at this point is defense. And if you bring in Carmelo, if you've watched any New York Knicks basketball,
it's not a pretty sight.
We know quite well from upstate New York what it means to play defense. And Carmelo's a great scorer, but he's also getting long in the tooth, and he wants to get a ring. If Cleveland brings in Carmelo, that means Kevin Love's got to go. And if you told me I could have Kevin Love or Carmelo Anthony on the team, I would keep Kevin Love. I thought maybe the one thing that could make a difference is if Paul George went over. But since he signed with Westbrook in Oklahoma City, I really don't see Cleveland, outside of getting maybe two elite defensive perimeter players to help lock down the Warriors' three-point barrage, of doing anything. And until that team buys into playing defense and does not have wide open lapses where it was basically like playing football, full court passes, nobody getting back on defense in the finals. You saw it over and over again. Until the team buys into playing defense and Coach Lou can stress that to his players, I really don't see anything changing for this coming year.
All right, Giancarlo, before I got to let you go, I have one more question for you. Does the Warriors' dominance over the last 3 and maybe the next 4 or 5 years, does that alter or change LeBron's legacy from I'm going to try to compete with the GOAT Michael Jordan to maybe I'm more like Jerry West, that I'm more a great player, Hall of Famer, logo type guy, but I'm going to be remembered as a finals loser instead of a champion, like a great champion?
I think it's a bit harsh. you could say any Warriors fan personality, anybody in the media that's covering the Warriors that's watched them go over to battle against LeBron James has to have profound respect for the guy. He's basically carrying the team on his back. He's playing 45 to 46 minutes a night, where Curry and the other gang, really into the NBA Finals, was playing like 31, 32 minutes. He single-handedly is carrying this team. Now, finals record aside, if he loses again this year in the NBA Finals, does that make him 3-6 or 3-7? Of course, it's a factor that's going to get looked at when he gets compared to a guy like Michael Jordan or a Jerry West, but more specifically Michael Jordan. If it comes down to that, you're looking at a top five all-time athlete in the NBA, period. End of conversation. Whether he is able to, you know, to boost the number of rings that he gets by the time his career ends remains to be seen. With the Warriors, it's going to make it very difficult. But the fact that the guy has made, what, seven straight NBA Finals is an achievement on his own, considering he's really carrying the team. You can say what you want about Kyrie Irving, but this is LeBron's team. It's LeBron's league for the better half of the last decade. And anyone that would be short-sighted to say that, you know, maybe a finals record of 3-6 or 3-7 inhibits him from being a top five NBA player of all time is just not thinking sensibly.
I completely agree. All right, Giancarlo, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Your insight is very, very valuable. Have a great day, okay, buddy?
Hey, you got it, Taylor. Anytime. Take care.
Yeah. That was Giancarlo Rulli. He managed the radio station at Syracuse University, and he just gave us very valuable insight to the Warriors, to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and to the NBA in general. All right, we'll come back after a break with Jason Franks, Samarin graduate, baseball player, and a very, very knowledgeable guy on the NBA. You're listening to In the Zone with Taylor Williams on Penguin Radio and 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. I remind you of the days you poured your heart into, but you never tried. I've fallen from grace, took a blow to my face. I've loved and I've lost, I've loved and I've lost. In the Zone, I'm Taylor Williams, and for our next segment, We are going to be talking about the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference and the disparity between the star-level players in both of those conferences. I'd like to start off by reading you something that I read on Twitter the other day, and it kind of cracked me up. I was kind of sad about it. And just take a listen. In the Western Conference, these are your all-star, big-name, guys-you-would-know type players. Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Paul George, Chris Paul, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, Rudy Gobert, Marc Gasol, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, and Blake Griffin. In the East, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas. Oh, I guess now you can throw in Gordon Hayward, too. Do you see the difference? Because I do. And I think most of you out there, you know, would rather watch the Western Conference if you had the choice, especially the Western Conference playoffs. And whether it's ESPN or TNT that has the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, I feel for you because you're about to lose a lot of money. The point I'm trying to make is that it's not even anymore. These two conferences are basically two different leagues. One of them is like college basketball, and the other one is like professional basketball. And in the college basketball one, you got LeBron James, and he's your superstar, and he can play in the other team's level. But most of these other guys, most of these other teams can't. All right, I'm going to bring in Jason Franks right now. He's our guest for the next 15 to 20 minutes, and he's going to talk about the disparity in the East and the West. Jason was a pitcher for the San Marin Mustangs high school that I went to. He's a great guy, and he is very knowledgeable about sports. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Taylor.
Yeah, of course. All right. So, Jason, no LeBron team has been to the finals. Sorry, no LeBron non-led team has been to the finals since 2010. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's something that's a little crazy to think about. So no team out of the East has made it to that promised land that doesn't involve LeBron in 7 years.
Go for it.
With that, it shows a couple things. It shows, first of all, obviously the East and how they've been a weak conference in the last few years. But I think more than that, shows LeBron's greatness. It shows that he is an all-time great. And some of LeBron's teams haven't been the greatest. He's led teams that have struggled throughout the year. Even this last Cavaliers team had numerous struggles throughout the year and were questioned at many times if they were going to get back there. But it shows a lot about LeBron that he's able to lead these teams.
So do you think LeBron is the sole reason that players are leaving the East, or do you think there's other reasons to go along with it?
I don't think LeBron is the sole reason. I think it's a big reason why free agents generally prefer going to the West. But there's a lot of nicer cities in the West, better sports towns, something I've heard throughout NBA analysts, which I think is a good point. And you see that list of all-stars in the West versus East. And, I mean, it's not quite accurate. There's a few more good East players. But the thing about this is it's not necessarily that bad of a thing. So you have the Western Conference, which is extremely exciting basketball, whether it's regular season or playoffs. We're going to have some great series next year with Warriors obviously being the Warriors. You've got the Spurs maintaining themselves. You've got the Rockets who are going to be better. You've got the Thunder who are going to be better. We're going to have some really good series in the West and some very exciting basketball. And then you move into the East, and yes, it's LeBron's team and then some weaker teams. But that's not necessarily that bad of a thing for the NBA, because you see lesser teams such as the Detroit Pistons or Charlotte Hornets.
Do you even want to watch those games, though? I'm sorry, Jason, but think about it. You're watching teams with no stars or teams with one star, and he's not even really that big of a star. The three of the best players in the entire Eastern Conference are on one team, and that's a team that just got destroyed in the finals. It's not a competitive conference anymore. It's really not. Look, I brought up the fact that no non-LeBron-led team has made the finals since 2010 because that's so long ago. That means the Eastern Conference has not been competitive in 7 years. It's not 2 or 3 years. It's 7 years. Someone should have challenged LeBron in those 7 years, but I tried hard this morning to think of a team that really pushed them. And there was a couple series, especially in Miami with Boston early on, that did push them. But for the most part, no. The Eastern Conference is a joke. I mean, look, 2010, the year of 2010, Toy Story 3 was the highest grossing movie. Apple released its first iPod. Obamacare was just signed into law, and Haiti suffered its earthquake. That was the last time a team without LeBron James made the finals. That was the last time the Eastern Conference was competitive.
Yeah, and it's going to be one more of that. I think LeBron's going to make the finals again next year. But answer this, Taylor. 2017-2018 NBA season, Philadelphia 76ers fight their way into the playoffs. The process. That's a story. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing that's going to get viewers. Will they lose their first playoff series? Most likely, yes. But if they get there, it's a big story. So even if there's not a team that's going to compete against LeBron, it's not that bad for the NBA. Because LeBron's not going to be in Cleveland forever. As me and you both agree with, he's likely going to sign with the Showtime Lakers right after his last stint in Cleveland. And after that, the East is going to be a whole new level of competitiveness. So I don't see this as big of a problem as most do.
Okay. So, yeah, Philadelphia would be a great story if they made the playoffs. But 16 teams make the playoffs. That's half the league. It's not compelling. They're not making the Eastern Conference Finals. They're not challenging the Cavaliers. They're not doing any of that. There's no team in the East that can even somewhat challenge the Cavaliers. Your second best team literally just sits there and hoards assets in the Boston Celtics, all right? They have the weakest conference in probably the last 20 years, and they still refuse to go all in. It's a weak conference. It's not fun to watch. And frankly, it needs to be merged. The two need to be merged, and that's the only way you can do it. Take the best 16 teams in the league. They make the playoffs. They play each other. And it's easy. Every team plays each other roughly 3 times a year, and you solve that problem.
See, I disagree with that point. And sports have always been in two conferences. You've got the East versus the West. You've got the National League versus the American League. You got the AFC, NFC. It's always a classic where you have two leagues, see the best of both leagues face it up. You don't just have one giant league where everyone's playing each other. I think it's better where you have two different segments of playoffs where the best team has made it. And that's what sports have always done. And I think it's gotten us to a pretty good spot. But
what happens when no one wants to play in one of the leagues? No one wants to play in one of the conferences.
See, it's only temporary.
It's temporary. Gonna go away it's soon. Been 7 years. How is 7 years temporary?
Teams are doing some smart things right now. You talked about how the Celtics are hoarding assets. They're hoarding assets for a reason. There's a reason they're not going for Paul George. There was a reason they didn't make that trade. It's because even if you add Paul George to the Celtics, I don't think they'll beat LeBron anyway. I don't think they're going to make the finals no matter what.
They'd have a lot better of a chance.
I just don't think it's enough.
So what are they going to do with the assets, Jason?
What I think is, first of all, I think this Gordon Hayward signing was great because when LeBron leaves, all of a sudden, Cavaliers, who knows what's going to happen to them? The Celtics, they have Gordon Hayward. They still have Isaiah Thomas, still have Al Horford, Jason Tatum in his second year. They're going to be a great team. Easy finals favorites. And that's in 2 years. We're not talking about in 10 years. We're talking about 2 years from now. The Celtics are going to be finals favorites. And
just to go there and get destroyed by the Warriors? Because they're not better than the Houston Rockets. They won't be. They won't be better than the San Antonio Spurs. It's not like you are you're just good for your conference. And if LeBron leaves, like me and you both think he will, you're still not a top five team. You just get to make the finals because you play in, you know, the Park and Rec League.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I really believe that if you get to the finals, you have a chance to win. And that hasn't been the case in the last few years. I get that. The better team has won most of the years. But go back to 2011, that Dallas Mavericks team that upset the Miami Heat. Miami Heat were odds-on favorites to win that. And that could easily happen again. You have a 2018 Celtics-Warriors finals. And obviously us from the Bay, we're big Warriors fans in general. And we don't want to see it happen. But it's very possible that the Celtics, how they pan out. I could see Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward being a terrific duo. And you have Al Horford in the paint. And Jason Tatum could be a great player. Who knows if he moves into a starting shooting guard or small forward spot. And Gordon moves a little bit, depending on what happens with Avery Bradley. But if you get to the finals and give yourself a chance to get there, good things can happen.
Still does not solve the problem with the rest of the East, though. You have one team that's more competitive now. If LeBron leaves the East, it's even worse. It's actually in worse shape because you don't. You have one less star, and you have LeBron is basically carrying the East on its shoulders. And I know we have to wrap up quickly, but I just want to make this final point. Look, LeBron James is the only thing the East has going for it. If they didn't have it in their conference, no one's watching the Eastern Conference Finals. No one cares. People only will tune in to watch the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Rockets, and maybe the Thunder with Paul George. No one cares about the East. They don't have stars. The NBA is a star-driven league. If you don't have stars, well, you're as good as the Detroit Pistons.
And right now, the Eastern Conference is down there without many stars, but we might be talking differently in 2 years. Who knows what stars are going to come up?
All right. Jason, thank you. Jason's going to be with us after the break. He's staying on to discuss and debate more NBA action. You're listening to In the Zone with Taylor Williams on 102.3 FM, Penguin Radio, and radio.dominican.edu.
Ball is ticked, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. In all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked. But now it shows in one shining moment. It's all on the line. In one shining moment, they're frozen. Time is short and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone. And when it's done, win or lose, you always did your best. Cause inside you knew that in one shining moment you reached deep inside. One shining moment. Feel the wind in your face. It's more than a contest. It's more than a race. Your best, cause inside you knew in one shining moment you reach for the sky in one.
All right, welcome back to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams, and you're listening on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM and radio.dominican.edu. Joined again by Jason Franks. Jason, that was a heated segment, but overall, I think it went well. First time on radio. You enjoy it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, I've been arguing my whole life with my friends, and now we're doing it live.
Awesome. So, Jason, we are going to talk about some of the big moves that have gone on in free agency and also in trade in the NBA. Just to recap for the audience, Paul George was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder by the Indiana Pacers last, I believe, Friday or Thursday. Chris Paul last week signed what was a sign and trade for and got sent to the Houston Rockets. Paul Millsap signs with the Nuggets. Jimmy Butler traded on draft night to the Timberwolves. We haven't brought that up yet, but I think we'll get into that this segment. And Gordon Hayward yesterday, 4th of July, signs with the Boston Celtics. We're going to start with the Paul George trade. What do you think about it from the Thunder point of view?
From the Thunder point of view, I like it to an extent. I don't think it's a terrific move, but I think it's very valuable. So you have Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP, and everyone knew his issue the entire season was he had no supporting cast. I mean, you have some decent players in Victor Oladipo and some more guys that will help him out a little bit, but you don't have that one guy who's really going to carry a team when Russell doesn't necessarily have his best day. And that's what Paul George is going to be. I think Paul George on that team is going to lead the Thunder to a top pick, a top seed, that is. Whether it's the 2, 3, or 4, I think they'll definitely be up there. They'll definitely have the home court advantage for their first playoff series, and maybe that'll be good for them. Maybe they'll get to the second round. Maybe they get out of it even and play the Warriors. Will they beat the Warriors? I really don't think so. I don't think they have much of a chance there. But here's my downside to that trade. Paul George has one more year on his contract before he's an unrestricted free agent. And where is he going to go? He's going to go to LA. He's expressed many times that he wants to go play for LA and Magic Johnson, like you've expressed also. And so the thing there is this Thunder team that's going to be a top seed in the West is only going to be together for that 1 year. And like you said earlier, they had Kevin Durant and they couldn't get it done. Paul George isn't better than Kevin Durant and they play the same position. So there's no reason they're actually going to get any great title this year.
So this was a desperation move by Sam Presti. Look, he lost James Harden. Well, he didn't lose Serge Ibaka, but he got rid of Serge Ibaka. He lost Kevin Durant, and that's the big one, obviously. And the only player he has is Russell Westbrook. They basically form the team around Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is everything they have. Russell Westbrook has the ability to opt out next year. They want to prove to Russell Westbrook that, look, hey, man, we're going to give it a shot. We're going to give you another superstar. You know, just sign on the dotted line so our fans don't, you know, come with pitchforks and burn the arena down. Now, the problem with getting Paul George and what I've heard very little but a few NBA insiders say is that let's say Paul George and Russell Westbrook play really well together. They're the best of friends. They have barbecues at each other's houses. They're maybe not going to re-sign with the Thunder. Maybe they'll go with a team with a ton of cap space, with young athletic players.
Exactly.
In Los Angeles. And maybe they'll both go to LA next year. They're both from Los Angeles. They both want to be stars in a star city. Russell Westbrook went to UCLA. It's very, very conceivable that the Oklahoma City Thunder just set themselves up for not only failure on the Paul George front, but catastrophic failure with their star player Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that point. And we're looking at a possible Lakers super team coming again. And we're talking about the Celtics in the East. I'm starting to worry about seeing Celtics Lakers all over again.
So you brought up the Celtics, and I know you got a hot take that you want to say about Gordon Hayward. You've been waiting all day. You won't tell me it because you wanted to catch me live on air. What do you think about the Gordon Hayward signing in Boston?
Yeah, so Gordon Hayward was relatively public about this decision. He was mainly choosing between the Jazz, the Miami Heat, and the Boston Celtics. And I said originally, Celtics is the way to go. And I'm super glad Gordon Hayward chose that for him. And it was a great move by the Celtics. And I'm not thinking about this for the 2017-2018 season. Because will they beat LeBron? No, I totally agree with you. It'll be 6 games instead of 5 games. But after that season is when we're talking about LeBron leaving. And that's what I've been saying, where this Celtics team is going to be a force in this Park and Rec Eastern Conference League.
And trademark. I trademarked that.
And if you get to the finals X amount of times in a row, I think you're bound to win it one or two times. And whether they'll be the better team doesn't always win the finals. And I think there will definitely be a Boston Celtics championship within the next 5 or 6 years.
There could well be a Boston Celtics championship within the next 5 or 6 years. I'm not arguing with that. I think Danny Ainge is a good GM. I think Brad Stevens is a great coach. But it's not going to look like this Celtics team if they're winning a championship. There is no way in hell that this Celtics team will win a championship. I'm sorry. The way it's presently constructed, even with Gordon Hayward, you're going to need a big-time player. And he's not a big-time player. He's not a superstar. There's a reason he didn't get third-team NBA. He's not Paul George. He is not Kevin Durant. He is, at best, Paul Pierce light. Light. And Paul Pierce couldn't do it by himself. He had to bring in Kevin Garnett. He had to bring in Ray Allen. Look, if the Celtics want to win a championship in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, they're going to have to go after a superstar hard. Now, maybe the guy wasn't this offseason. I'd like to see it this offseason. I push for aggression. Maybe it wasn't. That's fine. But next year or the year after, they better go for one. If Anthony Davis becomes available, throw everything at him. If Kristaps Porzingis comes available, throw everything at him. Because if you don't get one of those guys, it doesn't matter. You'll just continue to lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, or maybe you'll make a finals if LeBron leaves. But you'll lose to the Warriors, or you'll lose to whoever is the team that's dominant in the Western Conference.
You see, you're right that Gordon Hayward is not a superstar. You're right. He's an all-star that cannot lead his own team. But the Celtics have a superstar. He's sub-6-foot Isaiah Thomas, your favorite player, the king of clutch, the king of fourth quarters.
He's not a superstar.
I think he's a superstar.
He's my favorite player, but he's not a
superstar. I think he's coming right into it.
He's 5'9". There's not 5'9 superstars. I'm sorry. He's not a superstar. He's a good player.
He's getting there.
He can't play defense. I love him because he's got grit. He
has that determination.
He does.
When they're tied in that Eastern Conference Finals game.
Oh, and
with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's when you're going to see Isaiah Thomas shine. He always shines in that fourth quarter. That's the X factor you need on a team like this.
Yeah, it's the X factor you need on a team that has two superstars that can carry for most of the game and actually defend. But they don't have that. They have a 5'9" guy, a decent all-star starting forward, and an overpaid center. And that's all they have.
That defense you're talking
about. Some young guys.
Yeah, that defense you're talking about, you're forgetting about a guy named Avery Bradley. And what they've always done, they have a 1 and a 2. They put Avery Bradley on the better of them. He could even guard the 3 at times. Avery Bradley will always be the guy to hopefully start and guard whichever player he needs to guard. And I know he's on the trading block right now, but I think the Celtics would be out of their minds to trade Bradley before they trade a Jay Crowder.
Match Isaiah Thomas up with the Warriors. What does he do? Nothing. He be stopped. Silence over
yeah.
there. Yeah, silence. Okay.
I agree. Yeah. But this Warriors team, they're not necessarily going to be together in 3 years. Next 2 years, yes.
If Kevin Durant wants them to be together, he'll will it together. He's proven that so far. Anyways, we got to wrap up the segment there. Jason, thank you so much for coming on, debating with me for the last 15, 20 minutes or so. You did a great job in your radio debut. You are listening to In the Zone with Taylor Williams, 102.3 FM at Penguin Radio and RadioDominican.edu. Coming up after the break, my final take. Welcome back to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams. You're listening on 102.3 FM on Penguin Radio and RadioDominican.edu. It's time for my final take. Last week I did it on Donald Trump and Colin Kaepernick. I got a lot of responses about it. People loved it. People were a little confused by it. People completely got it. But overall, I thought it was great, and we're continuing it this week. And my final take, are super teams being formed because of the Warriors, or are they being formed to challenge the Warriors? Now, hear me out on this. Look, teams right now are trying a little too hard to add star players that don't necessarily fit their systems. Chris Paul going to a team with an all-star MVP level point guard. They both play the same position, right? Why are they doing that? Why would Houston do that? Would Houston feel the pressure to add a guy like Chris Paul? Or would they wait for a player that would better fit their system if they didn't have to go out and challenge the Warriors, who have four star players? I think the Warriors are ruining the NBA in a way that no one's seeing it. They're actually setting other teams up for failure by trying to make the other teams outdo them. Because it's not possible. Look, you... On Golden State's perspective, you added Kevin Durant to a team that won 73 wins, yes? You obviously are going to have an amazing team. But Kevin Durant fit perfectly within the system that Golden State was running. All you had to do was interchange Harrison Barnes out, who was already a free agent, with Kevin Durant. Now, when you bring Chris Paul on to Houston, what are you doing? You're trading Patrick Beverley, you're trading Lou Williams... You're having James Harden, who you just converted to point guard that year and had his best season, finally became an unselfish player. Now is he going back to the two? Are they both handling it? What are you doing? Who's the leader of your team? Who's the point guard? Who's this? Just to add another star player. I see this going on more and more now. Teams just want stars to have stars, but that's not how it works. As far as I'm concerned, the NBA is still a team game, and the best team wins, not the best group of players. The Warriors are not only the best team, but they are also the best group of players. So my little message to the NBA closing off this show, stop trying so hard to add superstars, and maybe just try to make the best team possible. Thank you. You're listening. You just listened to In the Zone. I'm Taylor Williams. on 102.3 FM, Penguin Radio, and radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day.
Tobacco kills up to 50% of its users. Will you get out alive? This public service announcement has been brought to you by the